there is an organizational structure that is going on, even in the early church. Though it may not be quite as defined as what we have often done it. We want to talk about church board, and I've titled it simply, Tips on Church Board Management. Now, this is something that I shared with the pastors at pastors' meetings, and so the pastors are going to get this for the second time. Tips for good board management is what I've called it. So it's just simply going to be about 10 things that you can do in order to make the church boards go smoothly. Most of you are probably doing it, so it won't be anything too new for you. But the first thing that I have said, if you want to have a good church board, that there has to be good communication. Now, when I say good communication, specifically, I'm referring to good communication between the pastor and his elders. They need to be on the same team. They need to know what the other one is doing. So the pastor and the elder need to communicate very, very carefully. And if I'm talking about church structure, I'm talking about the board agenda and the direction that you are going. You see, the pastor is the chief officer of the local church. The elders are also officers of the church, but they serve as the assistants to the pastors. So, there must be good communication. And it is important to gain each other's support. One of the things that makes church boards go smoothly when it comes to pastors and elders is for the pastor and elders to have what we call an elders meeting in advance. In fact, in a larger church, or even in a smaller setting, I suppose, it works well to have monthly elders meetings. And in those elders meetings, it is quite appropriate to discuss the agenda of the church board. In fact, there are certain things that the elders can stand together on, and one of those things would be membership transfers. When you are suggesting membership transfer, if the elders and the pastor are together on it, then the congregation feels much more comfortable. There are times when members who are applying to attend your church or for membership should not be there. They should not be members. Are you aware of that? Or do we just automatically accept anybody who asks? Don't do that. Check it out. And the same thing is true when it comes to transfers out. There may be individuals that should not be transferred out at that point because of a lifestyle or whatever it might be. But the elders and the pastors can deal with that in advance. The other people that you need to communicate with, that the elders and pastors need to communicate, is with the treasurer. Do you realize that the treasurer probably has the most power in the church of any of them? Any treasurers here? Who's treasurer? Okay. Do you realize the amount of power that you have? In other words, if the pastor and the elders and the Sabbath school department and the personal ministries want to do something, and they say, we want to do this, the treasurer can say, but there is no money. They can take all the votes they want to, but if there's no money, it's just not going to happen. Okay, so you have a great amount of power. The other thing is, it's not a good idea to surprise treasurers. It's really annoying for the treasurers if they suddenly get a $3,000 invoice and they knew nothing about it. Am I right, treasurers? It's a good idea to keep your treasurer informed if there is something that is going to be coming through. Now, just by way of interest, is that me? Oh, that's back there. Am I standing too close? Maybe. I quite thought that there was something on the roof.
Here, let me take this off. You don't think I'll take it off. You're okay?
Thank you. All right, is that better? Something that we've done in the past in one place that seemed to work quite well was to have a budget, and every department knew what the budget was, so that they don't have to come and ask the church board for permission to spend up to their budget amount. With an exception, we placed a cap on the amount that you could spend at any one time. Let me use an example. An example is that Sabbath School Department has a budget of $2,000 for the year. It would not be a wise thing for the Sabbath School Council to say that we want to spend $1,500 of that on one particular item at one time. And that should probably go to the church board. So they put a cap on it and said, the cap has to be $300 that you can spend without asking permission from the church board. If it goes beyond that, you need to bring it to the church board. Okay, that's an example. It could be any number that you agree on. That saves a lot of headache. The second thing to keep in mind is that if you are spending even $250 from your Sabbath school budget, even though you have $2,000, not a bad idea to go to the treasurer and say, there's an invoice that's coming in for $250. Is there money in the fund? And the treasurer can then say yes or no, so that when the invoice comes, it's not a surprise. Anyway, just a little tidbit for you to think about. Let me talk about an agenda. Develop an agenda. Order of the agenda is not important, but most times housekeeping items are at the first, like approving minutes of previous meetings, items arising from previous meetings, and treasurer's report. Many times they begin with a short devotional, 5 to 7 minutes of a devotional thought, not a sermon, okay? Not a sermon, just a thought and prayer. And according to the church manual, outreach and evangelism should always be a part of the agenda. Are you doing that? Anyway, make it as part of it. Know the desired between the pastor and the elders. Know the desired outcomes of each agenda item. But, it is not a good idea to reveal what the desired outcome is. Otherwise, the members of the church board are just simply going to rubber stamp it, or they are going to feel annoyed that why do we have to be here if we know the desired outcome already? It also means that those in charge, such as the pastor and elders, are there to listen to what the church board members have to say. And they may need to change the desired outcome to meet what the church board says. Does all of that make sense to you? Now, there's a reason for that, and that is the whole issue of timing. But I said here, you want the board to arrive at the same conclusions, but if they are different, it is the better part of wisdom to listen to the entire board as to what they want. Do not go contrary to the decided vote, even if you disagree with it. And then, of course, we have to follow through. Now, that leads me to the other part, which talks about the length of church board meetings. We all know that church board meetings are so efficient that they end in 45 minutes. Is that not true? You mean you have spent longer than 45 minutes on a church board? Don't do it. It needs to be shorter than what it is. It needs to be shorter. Keep board minutes short, 1 hour, maybe 2 at the max, depending on the number of items and the kind of items that are on there. But here's how you can do that. There's a number of things. One, make sure the homework has been done in advance. That will help you. Sabbath school councils need to have met in advance of your church board. So if there is a Sabbath school item that comes to the church board, the council should have thought it through already and know exactly how they're going to present it and what the outcome is to be. That's going to help you. The same thing is true with pastors and elders meetings. The same thing is true with personal ministries or youth department. Think it through ahead of time. Know what it is that you want. Present it clearly. Don't throw it wide open to the board and say, okay, what do you think we should do? You need to have a goal in mind, and you need to state the goal, what it is, and the rationale for it. That will help your church board an awful lot. And of course, there's the treasurer issue, right? If you've checked with the treasurer ahead of time to make sure that the money is there, then chances are it's going to go through quickly. Pastor George and Nolanico, you men are on our ADCOM, members of the ADCOM, and you will know that I have said that every item should not take more than 5 minutes. If it goes longer than 5 minutes, we send it back to the committee and say, study it again and come up with the right answer so that we can keep moving. Otherwise, we can spend a lot of time just discussing one item that could have been solved prior to. Okay, so make sure your homework has been done in advance. If an agenda item takes longer than 5 minutes to complete, except the minutes and treasurer's report, ask to defer the agenda to the next meeting so time can be given to homework and discussion with the appropriate committees, such as the elders and the treasurer and departmental directors. Another thought that you could do when you have an agenda items is put a time frame on each agenda item or cluster of agenda items. For example, you know, your home, the housekeeping items such as your pastor's report and the minutes and the follow-up to the minutes could be clustered together and say that we're allowing 15 minutes for this or whatever time you want to allow for it. That will help to speed it up. Okay, that's the length of board meetings. Now, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go through and then ask for questions, or do you want to ask questions as we go? We are under constraint at 10 o'clock. Yes. Oh, just go through it, and then you can ask questions as you go. Okay, I can do that. Pastors and elders and church board members, you are responsible for fostering all the lines of church work, not just one narrow aspect of church work. An example is that I had an associate pastor who was focused on youth ministry, and he constantly bucked me, and he kept on bucking the treasurer, and he kept on bucking the finance department, because he says, I need more money. I need more money. And he was always lobbying for more funding. And I took him aside one time, and I says, Pastor, I said, you are a pastor. Yes, you have been assigned to the youth work, but you are still a pastor. And as a pastor, you are to support all the lines of work in the church, not just the one. You are not narrow. You need to be broad. And that applies to all of us as board members. We are to be fostering all the lines of work. So maybe you are personal ministries, but you need to have an interest in the Sabbath school department. Maybe you are Sabbath school department, but you also need to be interested in the youth department. That's what your job is. So take care of the church as a whole, not just one particular narrow area. Value each other. Value the statements that you make, that other people make. Try not to be disagreeable doesn't mean you have to agree with the perspective, but don't be disagreeable. And there's a difference. How you say things in a board makes a difference. Somebody may say something that is not right, or you may think it's not right and has an opinion. And if you say, now that's a stupid statement to make, what's that going to do to the person that made it? Or that's a dumb thing to say. Or even if you said, I totally disagree with that. Not a good way to put it. In fact, sometimes you'll even say, yeah, well, you said that, but. And that's one word that you really don't have to use, even in a church board, the word but, because the word but just simply negates everything that has been said. Better it is to make a statement that says, I appreciate your opinion. Let's look at it this way as well. In other words, here's opinion one, here's opinion two. And then you can debate it, but don't go and contradict the other person by saying that was a dumb thing to say. Follow where I'm going with that? So be nice to each other. That just reminded me of what one pastor said to us one time. He said, you know, you don't have to like each other, but you need to be nice to each other. Okay? And I think that's true. We need to be nice to each other, even though we may not like what they have said. So value each other. Acknowledge each other's contribution tactfully. Oh, yes, here's this one. Probably doesn't exist in Edmonton at all, but sometimes on the boards, there are those who are the insistent talkers, who are opinionated. The board chairman has a responsibility. And the responsibility is to tactfully, and the word is tactfully, close down that person's consistent talking. Also, there are those who are so quiet and so reserved that they never say anything. Have you seen those? It is the chairman's responsibility to draw them out. And so many times what happens is that we get so busy listening to the ones who are talking and so focused on our agenda item that we forget about the people who don't say anything. What is important is to turn to that person who has not been saying anything, actually call them by name and say, what do you think? Just ask them for their opinion. Now, they may say, I don't know, and that's fine. But many times they have good opinions. They have just simply kept it bottled up. They're listening to everybody else, weighing out the situation, and they've got excellent, excellent opinions. Draw them out. What do you think about that? Or what's your opinion? And you'll find that these individuals will blossom for you. So draw out the retiring person who doesn't say much, if anything. Don't let that person, I'm talking to the chair people now, don't let that person just sit there. Of course, as board members, you know, you could do the same thing. You could raise your hand and say, I'd like to know what this person over here thinks and hear their opinion. So you can do that too. So ask for their opinion and acknowledge it with appreciation. Maybe even refer to it, to their comment later on in the discussion so that it highlights their contribution. Oh, what about confidentiality? Are you to be confidential? Oh, yes. Be confidential. You do not share what goes on in the board meeting or the discussion unless it is approved by your chairperson. And if you don't know, can I share something, you can ask. Ask the chairperson, how much of this can we share? Is it allowed for me to share it? With whom can I share it? Okay, but confidentiality is very, very important here. By the way, you do know that you are covered by insurance if you make an honest mistake. But if it's not an honest mistake, you're not covered. Okay? Fritz, I think you'll have to kind of help us on that one. But anyway, risk management does cover us for that. And I'll talk a little bit more about confidentiality when we come to the term that is called in camera. You may or may not be acquainted with that term, but it's kind of a bored term, I suppose. But let's talk about the minutes for just a minute. There is a formula that you can use for recording minutes. I learned about this when I attended, as a secretary of a conference, I attended the North American Division Secretariat meetings, and they told us, here is the formula that you use for keeping minutes. And I thought it was rather ingenious, because it's easy. It's real easy. When you record minutes, first of all, you have an action number. Have you ever had a request from, and I'll give them out later, have you ever had a request from the conference that says, we want a copy of the action that you took regarding something, and what is the action number? That's what we're referring to. The action number generally goes with the year, and then the action number itself. For example, you'd have 2016-01, 2016-02, or 03, or 04, and so on. So that's the action number. Then you tab over, if you're doing it on a computer, you tab over, and then you give a heading or a title to the action. Then you leave a space, you go back to the beginning, in uppercase letters, and in bold, comes the word voted. Voted. You tab over, and then comes the word to, T-O, and then the verb, or the action word, what it is that you're planning to do. In other words, most times your verb is not going to be that, voted that, but it's going to be voted to. And then the word, and then whatever the action word is, voted to acknowledge, voted to approve, voted to purchase, voted to, you know, whatever it might be. So that's the, and then you make the statement of what it is. Should we record the person who makes the motion and the second? What's your opinion? No, I'm hearing no. Anybody saying yes? You know, there's a few that's yes. According to the North American Division, the answer is no. The reason is that once the motion is made, once it is seconded, and once it is voted, that motion does not belong to the mover or the seconder. It belongs to the entire board. So there's no reason why you have to record that. Okay, so you don't need to record as to who it is that made the motion or who the seconder is. The second thing that they told us is don't include discussion in your minutes. Not necessary. The clean action is all that's needed. In as brief and short a form as possible, but long enough so that you are clear as to what's expected. So that keeps the minutes clean. There are exceptions. And the exception is generally with the statement, whereas. So here is how this would go. You have your action number, you tab over the title, space. At the beginning, the word in uppercase letters and bold again, whereas. Then you tab over, and you make the statement, only one statement in the whereas. And if there's two reasons why you want to take this action, you end up that whereas with saying, and you go back over again to the beginning, whereas, the second whereas, and you do the same thing all over again. And if there's a third one, again, the same thing. I'll give you samples of that shortly. And then finally, at the other end, when you're finally getting ready to make the vote, you say, it was, and then you go back, voted to, and so on. Okay? So I'll share that with you shortly. Minutes are permanent records. They should be kept in a safe place, never to be destroyed. They are considered public documents once they are approved. And so I've always had what I called an open board. Anybody can come to the board meeting if they choose. But, now I use this but appropriately in this case, but they are not allowed to speak and they're not allowed to vote. They have to keep quiet. If they are insistent on making a statement, if there's just something really, really, really urgent on their part, the whole board has to vote to give them the opportunity to speak. But they can't vote. They can never vote. Does that make sense? Okay, now there are times when you can't have visitors in the room, and that's what I'm going to talk about next. And that is what we call in camera. I have no idea why the term in camera. Somebody perhaps more astute than me can tell us why that word is used. But it's a term that is used. In camera means only board members are allowed to be in the room at that particular time because it is a sensitive issue that we're going to talk about, usually a personnel issue. For a church, that would generally mean if you are talking about somebody that has to be put under discipline, you would go into in-camera session. Everybody else leaves, and then you can open the discussion, and you talk freely. Is that confidential? Absolutely. In fact, at the SDACC board, when we go into in-camera session, Mark Johnson threatens every one of us. He says, you know that you are in camera. He says, if there is a leak anywhere and it ever is pointed to you, he says, you know that there is no coverage for you and your house and your car and all of your assets, including your wife and children, are all at stake. He says, am I clear? And it's true. It's true. In fact, I had one lawyer tell me one time, this is very confidential and very sensitive. He says, it must never be traceable back to you. The point is, total, total confidentiality, and you never say anything to anybody. And your spouse needs to know, if your spouse is not on the board, your spouse needs to know that there are times and there are things that you will not be able to share. That's just how it is. And if that's not possible, then you must decline being on the board. Okay, now I think with that, and there's probably many questions you have, but why don't we pass out the copy of those minutes? I have a sample of minutes, and I need a copy myself so that I can refer to it. Yeah, now this one here. Oh, yeah, there it is. No, I'm fine. Here we are. There's some more. I don't know if we have enough for everybody, but you can share, and I'm going to ask for these back later anyway. So it's just simply to show you what is done. And this is now the ADCOM agenda board, the ADCOM that we have at the office. And I've used some people who are here and their names, and I think since I shared it once before, Brad, I think you were okay with your name being here. No, not yet. Not yet on the second one. It's okay if it got given out, it's all right. But yeah, you'll have to share. Those of you who are sitting side by side, share a bit with one another. And it's just simply to give you an idea. Who's missing? Okay, there's a section at the back. Oh, my. You. Anyway, let me go through some of this with you so you can see. And those of you that are sitting side by side and you each have a copy, maybe you should just share with somebody at the back there a little bit. That would be helpful. So here's how we do it.
As you can see, Alberta Conference, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Administrative Committee Meeting, January 21, 2015, 3:20 p.m. Okay, and then we have present. Then we have the members, the recording secretary, if it is different from a member. We have prayer. And then you see how the action number goes. Okay. No, you're not seeing what I'm seeing. I'm sorry, I should have had this ready to put up on the screen. Okay, if there's somebody there that can share, go across. They're making some more. I'll tell you what, why don't we move on to the next item, and then when these other ones come, then we can go through this again. Is that okay? Let's talk a little bit about treasurer's report. Many members are not financially savvy. So, the treasurer's report may have been reviewed. It's kind of frustrating to board members if you're not financially savvy. And you sit there and wonder, what is he talking about? These columns and columns of numbers, and where are you reading, and what is this all about? And so, to solve that problem, at least in a larger congregation, and maybe in some smaller ones too, if you have a finance committee, or sometimes called a financial review committee, that go through these numbers in advance of your board, they can say to the church board, we have reviewed this, and we are satisfied that everything is in order. Wouldn't that give you a sense of confidence that everything is okay, if that were to be the case? They will still go through it, but at least you know that everything is in good shape. That's what we do at the executive committee in the Alberta Conference. That's what happens also at the SDACC. There's a financial review committee that goes through this. So many members are not financially savvy. So treasurer's reports may have been reviewed by a separate committee that was chosen by the board, and this finance review committee reports its findings to the board. Okay, let me go through another one. Two documents that you should be familiar with, and that is the most... Thank you. Did you open it? Okay, thanks. The two documents you should be familiar with is the most recent edition of the church manual. It describes much of the basic things in there, and it's okay to have a copy. You can get them at the ABC. They will be there, and there should be a new one coming out very shortly. I don't even think this is the most recent one. But there will be a new one coming out shortly, because there's always a new one that comes out after a general conference session. So go ahead and get that. The other one is the general conference rules of order. And if you follow that, then the chairperson will not get himself or herself into trouble. Good, thank you. Anybody else? Oh, there's some more on this other side there, Pastor. You need one of the other ones? Okay. Well, we're running out of time. Okay. Pastor John, I think on this side, again on the front here, there's some more. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, so we have the minutes now. And if you don't have them, you can look on somebody else's. That's okay. So again, starting at the beginning, we have the Alberta Conference of Seventh-day Adventist Church, Administrative Committee, the date, the time, the members present, the action number, in this case, AC, meaning ADCOM, 2015-033. That was the approval of the agenda. Then notice, voted to approve the agenda with the following additions, and they listed the additions. Now we go to the next one, AC 215-034, Valiant, Ron, request. Whereas, here is a whereas. There has been a request from Ron Valiant to use the conference copy machine to print this number of copies after hours. And as the conference departmental directors are encouraged to get outside quotes for large jobs above 1,000 copies, it was voted to deny the request from Mr. Valiant. Okay? So you see how that one goes. There we have Pastor Brad Darr's name shows up here. Okay, AC 2015-035, Darr Brad, request for out of district. Whereas, this time it had to be a whereas because the Yellowknife Church is a conference church, and because the pastor is bringing youth to a conference-sponsored youth event, it was voted to approve out-of-district travel for Pastor Darr to attend the teen youth rally. Okay, so you get the idea as to what's happening. If you turn it over, I want to take you to one other point, one other place, and that is action number 038, which is in the middle of the page. Notice it says in camera. Voted to be in camera. We actually voted to go into camera, and that means that everybody else left if there were other people present. And then the action itself is 039. It's a retirement application. But what do you notice that is strange about that? There's no action. There's no action. Okay? And then we came out of camera. We voted to come out of camera. And we moved on. Now, what do you do with those actions that are taken in camera? And you do vote the action. Yes, you vote them in camera. What do you do with them? Separate minutes is right. It's the action is there. It's recorded. There's some more leaves if you want. That's for later. Okay. And this is what it looks like. Just a brown envelope like this, three-hole punched because we keep our minutes in a binder. And on the top it says in camera, action number. In this case it was 2015-039, so you know what the reference is. Title, retirement application. And then to be opened only by. And you name who can open it. In this case, pastor and treasurer. Now, sometimes your auditor is going to want to see this, but the auditor does not have the right to open it. It can only be opened by the pastor and treasurer. Now, the auditor can see it, but it has to be in the presence of either the pastor or the treasurer in this case. On the other side, it is opened by, and then you put the name, position, the date it was opened, and the date it was sealed again. I'll pass it around. You can take a look at it. It's empty, by the way, so you don't worry about it. Just thought I should clarify that in case somebody was curious to know what the action was going to be. Okay? Yes, please. Well, I think it's probably going to have to be hard copy unless nobody sees any of the minutes afterwards. That would be the only way. I suppose what you could do if you're doing soft copies like that is that you can do the same, you know, you would record it the same way, but someplace you'd have to have a hard copy of that action. And you'd have to identify where that hard copy is kept so that it can be found again. Okay?
I understand. I don't know if I was looking at the information that's shared. for historian information is required for the source. Does that protect traffic?
We have not been keeping track of anything that is for your information only, but you could. I mean, you could have record it maybe at the bottom of the minutes or something for information only. That would be okay. It's not wrong to have more information. It's just you want to keep it as clean as possible. That's all. Okay, please. You would. You would. Okay, yeah, thank you. Okay, let me just, I got a few more, just a few more quick items, and then we're ready to go. I don't think I need to go through how you formulate a motion. I think that's all done, like motion, second, discussion, and then your vote. By the way, here's the other thing. Suppose that the motion goes through, but you are opposed to the motion. Excuse me. And you vote against it, which is quite acceptable to do that. Even if you're the only one, you can vote against it. You do have the right to make a request, and that is that your vote can be recorded as a negative vote. The reason is that if it is a very sensitive issue, and if ever there was a litigation that was to come later on, you would not be held liable because you voted against it. Follow? Okay, and the other part that I was going to talk about is that we don't necessarily do it quite like this into the office, but in the Mansass conference we did, and it worked very well. We had a binder, and the binder had four sections in it with four tabs. The first section was an index. The second section had the minutes or the actions. The third section had the follow-up record, including the date and how it was followed up. In other words, how did you follow up with those actions? So it recorded that, and then we had the backup material in the fourth section. Well, why don't we just give out the index, a copy of the index, to everybody so you can see what we did. I need a copy. Just give me one copy. Thanks. Yep. Okay, this is only for your information, but this is how we keep the index. One of the things that we were taught with the North American division is that when you have an index, each action, other than perhaps the motion to approve the agenda, each action should be recorded in three different ways. In other words, make your index in three different ways. Let me see if I can find an example here. Boy, these all have... Now let me refer back to the minutes. Let's just take the first one, 034, in the minutes. How would you make an index for that? If you want to do it three different ways, you would start it out by saying, Valiant Ron. You could make it by saying, Copy Machine - Valiant Ron. Or you could say, I don't know, what else would you do? You might say Ron Valiant. So that if you were looking in the index, you could find it in any one of those three ways, and you could cross-reference it to the number. All right. With that, I am going to stop, and I am going to let you ask questions if you have, and if not, we're going to let you go.
What the condition is for a non-board member to attend the board meeting. How I'm looking at it is, here we are being taught about the confidentiality and, you know, and everything. Mm-hmm. And yet, as a church member, that person is not aware of all those
right.
Principles.
Right.
So
right.
What's the condition for them to be?
Well, I think that if you
the chairperson is going to have to make the determination whether this is a confidential item or not. If it's just straightforward, it's not a problem. But if it's discussion that involves people particularly and that is sensitive, it should always be in camera. But if it's an action like we're saying we want to purchase some tables for the Sabbath school department, it's not a big issue. Some will be for it, some will be against it. This is what the cost is, and so on. You know, and if you choose, and if your board chooses to make it a closed session all the time, that's okay. You can do that. I would have no problem with it. Generally, I've just never had the problem with it when church members wanted to come and hear the general discussion. But if your church feels more comfortable keeping it as a closed session all the way through, that would not be an issue. I was giving my opinion at that one. Okay, Pastor?
Just for clarity, if you have a church member who is interested in...
If you have a church member who is interested in a particular item that they know is coming up on the board, and you welcome him into the meeting, do you traditionally normally just let them stay for the item of interest? Or do you ask them to excuse themselves afterwards?
If you have an open board, then they can stay. If you don't have an open board, then it would only be for that item, and you would have to ask them to excuse themselves.
I'm wondering about a question on a motion where it's clearly a premature question called. Can the chair address that, or you know, when there's definitely not insufficient discussion on the motion?
The chair should, at that point, then, if it's clear that what you're saying, that not enough discussion has really happened, the chair should be savvy enough to understand that and put it to a vote. In other words, there's a question on the motion. The proper way to do it is to say there is a question on the motion. Is there a second to that? All in favor of closing discussion. Okay? And then, of course, if the body as a whole say, no, we're not done yet, then they're going to vote against that. And then discussion continues. Okay? Okay, let's go over here.
Just to follow up on the question that he asked, isn't there, as a board member, right? When I'm elected to lead a certain department, I'm prepared. My mind is prepared that now I'm joining the board members,
yes,
right? And I know there are certain things that I have not to do.
Right.
In order to be a board member.
Yes.
And then here I'm just a mere church member, and I have my own ideas, maybe,
yes,
my agendas.
Yes.
And then the board is just open for everyone, and I'm coming in with my own agenda. I'm not really working with the board members because I'm not prepared somehow. Isn't it that a little bit like...
Okay, are you saying that it seems like the general church member can come and attend a board meeting and speak and those kind of things?
Not really speak, but they'll come and they will told not to speak.
Yeah.
But when they go out there,
right,
they'll change everything around. It might be evangelism.
Oh, okay.
It might be anything that we think, you know, it's to move the church forward.
Okay.
But they have a different agenda, so to speak. And so they'll go out there and start spreading rumors like that are not intended by the board members. By the time it gets there, everything is just...
It's all turned upside down.
Yeah.
And you have a point, and I think that if you are detecting that could be the case, then your board should be a closed board. Then you would be correct in keeping it as a closed board. Yeah. There's no hard and fast rule on making it open or closed. It's up to you as to what you choose to do. But
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. He says it's an open board as long as your members are reasonable. good statement. And it's true. Okay, anything else? Okay, we got a few. One at the back there, and then I'll come to you. But I guess maybe this will be the last because we're going to have to move forward.
Pastor, my question is to form a financial committee, how many members should we have? Or should we have member from board, or should we have we can have members from departments?
Right. I think that your church is going to have to decide who is going to be members of the board. Mm-hmm. Typically, in an average-sized church, 20 seems to be about right because it involves the key leaders of the departments, plus all of the elders are church board members.
Okay. Thank you.
So that may bring it up to as many as 15 or 20 members. How many do you have in yours, Pastor?
We have, Bob, what do we have, about 22? Is it that high now? Wow. That's because they don't all show up.
Okay. You weren't finished yet. I'm sorry.
Pastor.
Yes.
I think you did not answer her question.
I'm sorry. I wasn't.
She asked the question, how many members should be in a financial committee?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about board members. My mistake. How many should be on the finance committee?
Yeah, if you want to form a finance committee.
Yeah, it's true. Your board will determine that, but it shouldn't be a very large one. It should be maybe 3, 4, 5 at the most, I would think.
Okay.
But that's open for discussion. So did I catch the question? Do you have another question?
Yes. And another one is...
I'm sorry, I'm going to stop for a moment. Your mic isn't picking you up.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, okay, sorry.
Okay, that's better.
For finance committee, should the member come from board or from another department, like let's say prayer meeting or some other departments, let's say?
I think typically they would be board members. But, you know, if the church chooses to have somebody from outside on it, that's perfectly fine. But typically it would be board members.
Okay, good to know. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. No, there was another question that was over here. Please.
Hi. The question I have is regarding membership transfer. You say that now they have to check out or check in the people that coming in, coming out from the church. And I think before they didn't do that, what's happened?
Okay. Yeah, I think that there needs to be a study done as to whether this person can be recommended to join the church or not. I'm talking about transfers in or transfers out. All I was saying is that the pastor and the elders would discuss this first, make the recommendation to the board. The board, in turn, recommends it to the church in a business meeting, or as in Sabbath morning. But all of that, those checks have been done ahead of time. Is that changed? That's the way I'm used to doing it. I don't know if that has changed. Is that the way? Am I right? Okay. Is that not how you do it? No? Okay. Pastor Ferrari, thank you. Tell us, how do you do it?
Well, normally what I would do, the elders would meet with the prospective member. The people coming in, transfers in.
Yes.
We meet to get to know you kind of session. And that's where we would assess, you know, what we're dealing with. And then that recommendation is taken to the church board and the board to the church.
Okay, so I guess that's the way we've always done it too, in that way. If you do it differently, well, I guess, tell us how you do it.
How do you do it?
I've never seen we check into an individual that is coming into a church or going out for late. So this is something new. And I think it's a good recommendation for us to look into.
Okay, that's because there may be members who are not, I'm going to use a word, a bad word. Maybe they're an offshoot. And you don't know it. And all of a sudden they come in, they're members, and now they have an in, and they are going around and disrupting the members theologically. So you just check it out and find out what it is. That's the reason for doing it that way. You want the members. There's no question about that. But you want those who are honest. Pentecost? Well, not at any cost. I thought you said Pentecost. Okay, Pastor Ron.
What we do is not necessarily the Board of Elders, but for us, the board itself will sit down with the prospective member or the member who's transferring in with the sets of the core fundamental beliefs. A form that we go through, we ask them the question if they still believe and support this fundamental, this core fundamental beliefs. If they say yes, 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 yes. And then at the end, the last question is, which do you feel that your spiritual gifts would best utilized in the ministries of the church? And there's a check button there, youth ministry, Sabbath school ministries, women's ministries, prayer ministries, strategic planning ministries, whatever it is. And then we ask them to choose the top three of their choice of, you know, ministries that they would like. And they have to sign their name in. They have to put their address. They have to put their birthday. And so it would be easy for our church clerk to put those information in.
Good. That's fine. That's just simply another little way of doing it. We're going to stop there, if that's okay. We're running over time, big time, so we're going to be stealing from the elders and all the others. It's Valentine's Day. Do you still love me? Okay. But if you have personal questions that you want to ask, you're welcome to come and talk to us, and we're willing to visit with you about it and give you some ideas as to what to do. Oh, are you ready to administer the quiz? Oh, you do? What's the quiz? Must be one person
on screen, and they will answer if they want.
Okay. Is there really one there? Is there? Oh, you could get it. Oh, all right.
Are you ready? Where's my... Get ready for your question.
I had no idea he was doing this.
Let's see. Ready? Set? Good. Is that quiz from the church manual? All right. How much you know? Okay. How many chapters in the church manual have? No, I'm serious.
16.
Has to be 16.
A, B, or C?
What do you say? How many say A? How many say B? How many say C?
All right, watch this.
No, kidding.
All right, let's go.
All right, good for you. You said 14.
When was the Seventh-day Adventist Church name chosen? All right. 1860. All right, let's go again. A division is a group of unions and so forth. Choose. A, B, or C?
B. B.
All right. Go ahead. New fundamental beliefs now. A, B, or C? Huh? B? All right, let's go. Which one? A, B,
read,
or C?
Read the question. The question is, the Seventh-day Adventist Church's form of government is Episcopal, independent, or representative? Okay.
Good, good, good. This one?
A church member is placed under discipline for.
All right. Okay.
The Sabbath school offering is?
A, B, or C?
C.
Good. Bright.
Can you? A person is received by profession of faith by means of?
A, B, or C?
B.
Good.
The first job of the church board is?
A, B, or C?
B. B.
Huh?
B.
B.
A company member who is fallen into sin will be put under discipline by?
A, B, or C? C.
What is that?
All right. Main responsibility?
Okay, main responsibility of training elders belongs to?
A.
A.
An elder is only allowed to baptize when?
A is correct.
Members who move away who do not contact the church and are impossible to be located.
Good, good. Yes and no now. All right, let's go.
Should a church discipline a member by removal who has fallen into sin without consulting the church pastor?
Good, very good.
Do choir members need to be members of the church or the Sabbath school or the youth society?
You get caught this time.
Oh, really?
No, this is just manual, right? This came from the general conference. This is not what I set up, all right? So I am free.
When an ordained minister of the conference visits a church, is it expected that the local elder will show him proper deference by inviting him to occupy the pulpit?
Eh? What's that? Okay.
I can't see. I can't read it.
Can the controversy mission field committee authorize a pastor with a ministerial license to go from church to church outside of its area performing church rites?
No.
Can minister be removed from the office by the conference mission field committee without affecting his church membership? About this one. Could nominating committee members consult prospective members?
Officers.
Oh, yeah. Any church or conference mission field officer or leader attempting to control the votes of a group of delegates would be considered disqualified from holding office. Yeah, he'll be disqualified. Is the consumption of coffee and use of jewelry clearly condemned in the baptismal vote?
Yes.
No. I'm hearing yes and no. So which is it?
Yes.
Here it goes. No. Do those who fail to return their tithe not be considered for the position of elder or to any other church office?
Yes.
Good. Can a member be removed from church membership or otherwise disciplined only by a majority vote of the church members?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
No. Not by the church members. In a business meeting, probably.
Yeah.
That's a catch. In case there is no one qualified to be an elder of a church, can a person be elected as a church leader? Yes. Are there two ways to discipline a member? Vote of censure and vote of removal? Good. Coming to a close. Does the church have the right to prevent someone's membership transfer under discipline?
Yes.
In case the church officers refuse to consider the application for reinstatement of a dismissed member, does such an individual have the right to appeal to the church for hearing?
Yes.
Can a church accept intermembership an individual who is under discipline? Has a church board with good representation have the authority to vote letters of transfer to another church?
No.
Now, I'll get silent on me now. No. If the appointed pastor is a licensed minister, should the local church or churches that he serves elect him as an elder?
Yes.
Is the pastor an ex officio member and serves as chairperson of the nominating committee?
Yes.
Does the church strongly discourage SDA pastors to perform weddings between SDA and non-SDA?
Yes.
We do. Can a newly elected deacon fill the office while he is waiting for his ordination? No. You got to be ordained. Under special circumstances, can a church leader perform the duties invested to a church elder? That's a tricky one, right? Well, it's no. Can a quorum be decided by the church in business meeting or by the church board? Yes. Is the minimum quorum of the church board work 50% of its members plus one?
Yes.
Wow, that's a resounding yes, Ken, but it's no.
No.
Remember, it could be decided by the church and business meeting. So it doesn't have to be 50 plus one.
Yeah.
That's the normal number.
Yeah. Can a church vote a discipline by censure for 2 years?
No.
No.
1 year is the max.
Yes. Under no circumstances should a minister, elder, or other church officer invite strangers to conduct services in our churches.
Yes.
Under no circumstances or practice of keeping a retired member's list should be followed. Yeah. No. Yes. Should the elder regard all financial matters pertaining to church members confidential?
Yes.
When a member or individual returning tithe in the church is reported, should children who are non-wage earners but are members of the church not be counted in this group?
No.
Does the Seventh-day Adventist Church practice open communion?
Yeah.
Should all changes or revisions of policy made in the manual be authorized at the general conference session?
Yes.
There goes it. Nomikose, time gone. All right?